Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. Anybody need a worksheet? Did not get receive a worksheet? Slip your hand up. Anybody need a worksheet that would like to have one and didn't get one? All right. John chapter 1, verse number 1, if you will, please. John chapter 1, verse number 1. I'm calling this, I haven't done this for the other ones, we just did John, but I'm calling this Meet God. John is the one that presents Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And there's some things in the book of John that none of the other Gospels share with us. And there's some principal things here, some fundamental things, if you will. And, you know, that's where we got the term fundamentalist. Now, I know that they do all kinds of play on that word and call them fundamental, you know, but all this kind of stuff. But the fact is, there's some fundamentals of the faith that if they're not there, everything else falls apart. Now, there's an awful lot of people that will just kind of, you know, just kind of go through the fluff and all this of religion, and they wonder why it's empty. Your faith is only good as the object of your faith. But if you don't understand the object of the faith, how can you have faith in it? I understand we can't understand everything about God. Don't get me wrong. But what do you really believe? Well, I believe. Believe what? That's the thing you get a lot this time, in this era. I believe. Well, believe in what? Well, I believe. Well, that's not going to do anything. So let's read these first 13 verses. We were in here last week and we pulled out the parts about God. And we're going to pull out some other things here this evening. Chapter 1. Verse 1 of John, the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He kind of hits it from both sides there, just so you got it clear. He made everything. Okay, well, good. But no, without Him there wasn't anything made. Nothing happened by accident here. Well, He made everything. Yeah, I know, but then this, no. He made everything. There wasn't anything made that He didn't have His hands in. Verse 4. In Him, the Word, was life. What's life? We're talking about that. The essence of life. In Him is living. You see what I'm saying? In Him is what life is the essence of life. It's not just some computer. There's life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now, we've got a little side trip here. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Not John the Apostle, but John the Baptist. Okay, not the guy who wrote the book, but John the Baptist. That same John the Baptist came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, the light, that is, the Word, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's have a word of prayer. We're talking about light versus darkness. Light versus darkness. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank You for Your Word, and there's some things in here that can be a little difficult to understand. And Lord, I'm not sure we can fully understand all the ramifications of what we're talking about here this evening, because really, we weren't there in creation. We couldn't do creation. Only You can do that. I think there's some things that we're not going to quite understand, but we're going to be able to understand some principles and some concepts and help us understand You a little more fully and realize what we have when we have Christ. So Lord, we ask for Your Holy Spirit. Just as in the beginning in Genesis, His Spirit moved upon the face of the earth. Lord, we ask for you to move upon our hearts and make it alive in what you have for us here this evening. We ask in the name of our dear Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, let me give you a couple things from last week. Put in perspective. It's not on your paper there. Just hang tight. Now, first of all, what we're talking about tonight is one of those doctrines that we sort of get the gist of, but yet remain wallowing in confusion. And I'm going to approach this truth from many different sides with the intention that the concept will eventually come into focus. So let's begin with some foundational truths here that we've learned beginning last week here. First thing, it's not on your paper here, but let me just kind of remind you, if you have your paper from last week, you'll be reminded. Jesus was in the beginning. The Word is Jesus. We learned that in verse 14, the Word was made flesh. Jesus was in the beginning. All creation began with Jesus. It gave with the Father, yes, but Jesus was there. It's all with Him. Without Him, not anything made that was made. We just read that in our passage here. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is the Word is the expression. It means something said, the thought, the motive. The Word, logos, is the Word, is the word for Word, and it means the expression of God to man. God is trying to reveal Himself to us, and sometimes we don't want to listen. Sometimes we just don't pay attention. So Jesus was in the beginning. Everything was made by Him. He's the great I Am, the same one that was at the burning bush for Moses. He's the self-existing one, Jehovah, life itself. In fact, that's kind of self-existing. Jehovah kind of means the self-existing. In other words, it doesn't need anything to give its life, to give it life, because it is life. The self-existing one. And, of course, Jesus is the Word, and the Word is truth. And so Jesus is God's truth revealed to mankind. You could say it this way. Jesus turns the light on so we can find out what God is. Second thing we learned was the Word is everything God is. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. It was with God, and the Word was God. The Word reveals God to us. The Word is God, just like God is love. The Word is the essence of who He is. The Word reveals to us God's character. The Word reveals to us God's purpose. The Word reveals to us God's essence. And so that's who He is. Number three, the Word is equal to the Creator. I've kind of said that, but when it says all things were made by Him, and that was anything made that was made. He is the Creator. The Word is the Creator. Number four, we learned that Jesus is the incarnation of the Word. It's God being put into the shell of a man, if you will. It says, and the Word, verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, of the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. So the Spirit of God was caused to be encapsulated, if you will, in the human body. And it was the essence of God put in a human shell, if you will, but He's all man, but He's all God. And to be honest with you, we could stand here and probably have an argument about what does all that entail, you know, and so forth. But the fact is, theologians have been trying to figure that out ever since Jesus was on earth. And if we knew everything about God, we'd be God. And I think all of us are going to come face to face with God one of these days and found out didn't have it all squared away. But anyway, He's all God, but He's all man. Now, new for us this evening, number one. It says here in verse 4, well, let me start verse 3. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him, the Word, which ends up being Jesus, because the Word was made flesh, and dwelt up, we know who that is. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Let's look over the first phrase. In Him was life. The word life is the Greek word zao. Z-A-O, Zao, and it means the quick. Now, I'm not talking about being fast. Now, a lot of us don't use this term anymore, but did you ever hear the term, I cut my finger down to the quick? You know when you hit the life part, the flesh part, okay? In Him was life, but it means quick. You could say, hang on, self-animated. Animation means it's alive, it moves, it has life, if you will. Webster, 1828, the old big old thing that they feel like the definitions are still very close to what's in the King James Bible. In the word, underneath the word life, it says this: in a general sense, it's that state of animals and plants or of an organized being in which its natural functions and motions are performed, or in which its organs are capable of performing their functions. In other words, it's animation, it's vitality. Specifically in man, that state of being in which the soul and the body are united. It's life. It's kind of hard for us to really explain life because, to be honest with you, scientists really they can't totally explain life, because if they could create life. They can take life and make life. They can clone something, artificial insemination, all those kind of things. But the fact is, the essence of life itself, we cannot start with nothing and come out with life. Because in Him is life. So life is in God. Letter B, life is energy. I'm just trying to, again, that's probably insufficient, but life is energy. This wood that makes this pulpit was once alive in a tree. It's dead. There's no life in this inanimate object. See you know what I'm saying? There's no life here. But life is energy. Life is something beyond just the elements all formed in one place. For instance, watch this. If I wanted to make something cold, I don't add more cold to it. You say, well, that's what you're doing here, but how are we making that cold? By taking out the heat. You're removing the energy of the heat. Watch this. To make a room dark, you don't add dark. You remove the energy of the light. So darkness is the absence of the energy of light. Death is the absence of the energy of life. You see what I'm saying? Death and God, in Him is life. So life means that God has to be there. You remove, if you're dead, God's not in that. You remove God's life energy, the energy that He's using, by Him all things consist. It's just like I said, if you remove God from the universe right now, it'd fly apart. There's this black energy that they're talking about, and there's black matter and all this stuff out here, and they're trying to figure out what holds the universe together, and why do all the moons of one planet go around except one decides it's going to go the other direction? That doesn't make sense. That's because God says, I'm going to pull one over on them. Let's watch this. Hey, Gabe, watch this one. They're going to find that. They're going to find it about the old 1915. They're going to find that one. Just wait for it. Because they're going to say, how could that happen? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Life is energy. Light is energy. So God is life. Watch this. Evolution has no life to give life. The only way evolution can even hold any water at all is because it began with a creation that has life. But the fact is, we know it's not true, because in Him, He made, and all things were made by Him. In Him was life, and He made all things. And He created them after their kind, had them procreate after their kind. So God is life. Now watch, okay, let her see. God not only made things, but God made life. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but I want you to see this point. Man can make things. But man's things can even imitate the animated existence of life. But man cannot make life. We can go through the process and obey the rules of the universe that God has created and create more life, so to speak, make more life. But we couldn't have made life without having some life to use to make life. God's the only one that has life. Dirt, as it is inanimate. The problem is if you eat dirt, you're going to get sick because there's botulism and bacteria and all kinds of stuff, E. coli, all stuff in the dirt. You know what that is? That's life in the dirt. Now, if all you have is dirt, you can't have life. There has to have been something, some kind of cell, some molecule, something that has life to create life. God is life. In him is life. You have no life without God. Letter D. God put life into his creation. God put life into his creation. Genesis 2:7 says, "The Lord," this is way back beginning, "and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground." Now, what is man made of? Dirt. And that's all you got. In a different form. One of these days, if the Lord tarries, we're going to end up in the ground. Of course, most of us have eaten so many preservatives now, we'll probably last till Jesus comes back anyway. But technically, it's really not that long until we turn to dirt. Down the city here, they moved a bunch of graves around that old church, you know, next to the Yorktown Hotel. There's a bunch of graves there they're going to move and so forth. And they said some of the places what they find is dirt, maybe a bone, a button. That's what they're finding. They're taking whatever they can find and removing it so they can do something else in that land, but they're putting it closer to the church and so forth. But all they got is dirt. That's because all that the body is dirt. The funny thing is that I don't understand is, how can a big pile of dirt like this think and imagine, laugh, love, get mad, get frustrated, stand up and communicate with other piles of dirt? You see what I'm saying? Okay, you got piles of dirt, but life is of God. Now it says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground," watch, "and breathed," the same type word we have for like spirit, "breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." That word breath is both, it can be translated both spirit and, watch this, here it is, soul. He breathed into them a soul. He made you a person. Bible says we are and were created for his pleasure. That means, listen, there's not a pile of souls sitting up there in heaven and God lets one out and throws it in the body every time somebody's born. You are a living soul that God has put life into. I think that we're made on the spot, on conception. That's when we are, where somebody knew right then and there. Okay? There's no reincarnation. I don't like pet milk anyway. Only the ladies get that. Carnation milk? Okay, never mind. That's not what he's talking about. Listen, it's a point a man wants to die and enter the judgment. So there's not this back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. There's an eternal soul inside of you. To a certain extent, you are not your body, but you are immortal. You will be here. You will be somewhere for eternity. Evolution can't create that. In Genesis 7:21, it says this. I just gave you some verses. Let me just read this. And all flesh died. It's talking about Noah. All flesh died that moved upon the earth, both the fowl and cattle, beast, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, and all in whose nostrils was the breath of life. Of all that was in the dry land died. Genesis 6:17. God says, behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. You hear how he said that? He said, I'm going to destroy the flesh, wherein is the breath of life. God has made a soul that doesn't go any, that cannot be destroyed. The flesh is destroyed. What did Joseph, though the worms eat my flesh, yet may eat my body, but yet in my flesh I shall see him. And not another, I myself. I'm not talking about somebody down the road, one of my grandkids are going to, no, I'm talking about me. I may be dead, me in the ground, and the worms eat me up, but I'm going to stand and see him face to face. But what is that? That's the eternal soul. That's the breath of life. That's the person he has created, and God is life. Genesis 7:15, it says, then they went in unto Noah into the ark, and two and two, all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. Letter E. I've kind of touched on this, but I'll say it again. Life is not in evolution. Life is not in evolution. Evolution begins without life. Where does life come from? Non-life, watch. Non-life cannot produce anything, much less produce life. That's not on your statement there, but non-life cannot produce life. I think I gave you a letter F there. I don't think there's anything to fill in. Just as physical life is of God, spiritual life is of God. John 1:13, it says, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born. Life coming alive. Life becoming there. Now, we're not going to spend all the time. We're going to talk about that one later. Hey. Probably next week. Number two. So God is life. Number two, God is light. And the Bible says, in him was light. Life. I'm sorry. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Just hang tight with me. It could be a little bit heavy here, I understand. But hang tight with me. God's sheer presence brings light into the situation, whatever the situation is. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. Everything seems crazy. You can't understand. It's all confusion. Get God in there. So I don't understand God. You're not supposed to understand God. God understands you. And he's going to turn on the light. And he's going to reveal to you what you need to know, because he knows what you need to know. You don't know everything about him, and you never will. But he knows everything about you. So let God, get close to God, let him turn on the light. Light, well, watch me. Light shows the nature, the content, and the consistency of everything else within the reach of that light. God is light. In other words, when God shows up, he reveals everything for what it is. We had to get some more lockers over here. And of course, they all match him, and that's really good. The Lord's good. He's been taking good care of us. And all paid for. That's a wonderful thing. But the floor over there is not quite level. That's a brand new building, I know, with concrete. You know how it is. And so what I had to do was I put my level on that thing. I got a little level with a magnet on. I could stick it on that locker there. And sure enough, the one in the middle was level. But they both kind of went down from there. You know, and you put it on there. Okay, the point is, there is a standard, if you will. There's a truth. Truth is unforgiving. And when I say that, it means truth is truth. It is what it is. You can't change truth. And when I put that on there, and the old bubbles, by the way, you know a fellow's on the level when it's bubbles in the middle too, just so you know. But the truth is truth. You can't change truth. When we put that on these other set of lockers over here and they're hanging down, the bubble's not in the middle anymore. You can argue all you want. You can get philosophical and you can try, well, you know, and listen, the truth is it's out of whack. When God shows up and turns on the light, we see whether we have any whack or not, or we're just whacked. You know, my wife always said, hey, boy, that thing's out of whack. We ought to go buy some more. It just, you know, be funny. You know, what we have a strange sense of humor. I'm sorry, but truth. When light shows up, truth is revealed. Light reveals truth. Now, number three, in the beginning, God brought light to the darkness. If we don't get finished all this tonight, we'll just stop. But we'll see how far we go. Because I want you to understand this. You say, well, I don't understand. I'll just accept it for a minute. It's awful nice if you kind of get the idea of this thing. Because it really changes how you approach the Bible and the truth and how you allow it to change who you are. We realize we're the darkness, He's the light. See, well, I'm not so bad. No. I'm getting ahead of myself, but light and darkness don't coexist. The light expels the darkness. Now, number three, in the beginning, God brought light to the darkness. Now, I know this is back in Genesis, but it's so reminiscent of John's so reminiscent of Genesis that you can't divide the two. It says there, you have it, I think, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form. That means it was desolate. It was a waste place. It was a place where life does not exist. It was a state of confusion, if you will. And it says it was without form and void. Void means empty, undistinguishable ruin, if you will. Now, it's not that someone had gone and ruined what was there. It's just that there's nothing there. It's just a mess. It's like that bridge in Italy that fell down. Do you see that thing on TV? It's like, and all these big hunks of concrete and the metal and the stuff. It's just, how in the world did that thing fall down like that? But anyway, just as we look at it, just a pile of confusion. The elements are all there, but it's a pile of confusion. By the way, a jet plane didn't come about by explosion in a scrap yard. And we didn't come to fruition by an explosion in the middle of a swamp. That just creates more confusion. So it said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Well, what's darkness? The lack of light. The lack of the God element. He had the material elements, the matter. But life is in God. There was no light. So it was in darkness. Darkness was upon the face of the earth. Watch. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let's put light, energy, life, if you will. The life was the light. So he said, let's put light into this. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. It was organized. It consisted of something. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now, that wasn't a separate thing. That's what happened when you put the light in. Where there's light, there's no darkness. Where there's darkness, there's not light. And God called the light dark and the day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So in the beginning, God brought light into the darkness. Hang tight with it. Let it be. Where there is no life, there is no light. Let it be. Where there is no life, there is no light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. If you don't have life, there's no light. It's dead. Now stick your finger in the socket and decide whether it's dead or alive. Is that a live circuit or a dead circuit? You'll find out. You get a real kick out of it. Yeah, you get a little charge out of it. That's right. You get a little charge out of it. So listen, if it's alive, it's going to light your lights. Now, watch. I said let it be. Where there is no life, there is no light. Right? Now, a dead person cannot perceive light. Light is of none effect to a dead person. But where there's life, there's light. We'll get to that a little bit more. Just hang tight with these. Put it all in here. Number four. Jesus brings light to the soul that is darkened by sin. Jesus brings light to the soul which is darkened by sin. John 1:4 says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Now, verse 5 says, and the light. In other words, that word light there means something that reveals. It shines a light on it. It allows it to be illuminated to see what it is. Something that reveals. The light reveals. Again, go back to my level on that. That determines what truth is, so to speak. When we put that on there, put a light on the matter. Jesus, the Lord God, is truth. He changes not. It's always the same. So when he comes into the situation, all of a sudden, the lights go on and we find out what truth is. Truth is now revealed. The circumstances are seen. And we are seen for what we truly are. You ever see anybody do that? A little joke on somebody. You got a whole bunch of line, all these people in the room, and they're all going. And one person comes in, and he's walking, you know, straight. But everybody else is leaning to one side. You got all these people leaning to one side. You know, it just kind of throws you off. You ever been in one of those fun houses? Well, you know, it just kind of. Have you ever been over to Johnstown? There's a place called Gravity Hill. You ever hear about that? It's out in the middle of nowhere. We took the kids out there. I mean, we thought, it's in the middle of nowhere. And you go to this place out in the middle, out in the woods, and you go up to this little spot there, and there was all kinds of advertising for Gravity Hill, Gravity Hill, Gravity Hill. And you put your car in neutral, and it starts to drift. But it looks like you're going uphill. It looks like you're going uphill. And so it plays with your mind. But the fact is, it's the way the hills are and the way we look at it in the context of those hills, because I knew we were going out there, so I took a level. So I did. Put it right on the road, and we were going downhill. The level told us we're going downhill. But when you get on that thing, you get a car. Just the way the hills are, you think you're gradually going uphill. It's the strangest thing. And you know, it's a big to-do, a little attraction for the area out there. But you see, as soon as we turn the light on, when we brought truth into the situation, it makes no matter how much we swear that's the other way, truth is revealed when the light is turned on. And God is that light. Now, wait a minute. Without that light there, darkness can argue all at once. And be honest with you, a lot of other people would go along with it. Because according to our perception, it's just the opposite of truth. Now, it says, where were we? Jesus brings light to the soul, darkness. Okay, and the light shineth, it's revealed. That word, it says, when it says the light shineth, the word shineth means to make appear, to make so it can be seen, to manifest, to show what is God's truth. In other words, to show truth, to show God, which is truth, means to show truth. So it's going to show truth. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. When God enters into the picture, brings it all to fruition, brings it all to light, it shows darkness for what it is. Now, the word darkness means obscure or not understandable, unrecognizable, because it cannot be discerned due to the lack of light. We could not discern correctly which way that hill was going without there being the reference of truth. The Word is life. And it says, and the darkness comprehended it not. That phrase basically means this. The darkness, the lack of the light, did not eagerly take a hold of, was unable to grasp it, or could not make it one's own. It couldn't grab a hold of it, unable to perceive. In other words, darkness cannot deal with light. It cannot overcome light. Light always overcomes darkness. Let's put some more darkness in there. It cannot overcome the light. Now, folks, that's one of those things. You know, we feel like the world's getting darker and darker and darker and darker, and we all want to go crawl in a corner. That's because the darkness has convinced you to go make more darkness. You say, well, they made him mad. Listen, that's because the darkness cannot comprehend the light. It's having a difficult time understanding light. Now, if we walk around in the dark for a long time, this is not on your paper, I have an illustration here. Have you ever been in darkness for a long time and then you turn the light on? You have a hard time receiving the light. We close our eyes. You know what we do? What? We close our eyes to protect ourselves. We don't want to let too much light in here, you know. We just kind of squint because we want to be able to see what's going on, but we don't, you know, the light hurts. I mean, it actually does. You ever hear light? Light actually, if you've been really dark and you walk in, it's like, man, it actually hurts the eyes of one that's accustomed to the dark. Listen, light doesn't make sense to the dark. Light and darkness are mutually exclusive. I don't know whether I gave you this last one or not. Light and darkness cannot coexist. Now, hang tight. Number five. Man is given light, but man refuses light. Man is given light, but man refuses light. John 1:9 says this. He says, John came and he was a witness of the light. And then we get to verse 9, it says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. They couldn't understand the light because they're so used and accustomed to the darkness. We do not recognize light if we refuse to accept it as light. So again, we do not recognize the light if we refuse to accept it as light. Again, that road out there on Gravity Hill, I can put that level on there, and you know what the first thing you want to do is say, man, my level's out, it's not working. Must be something wrong with that level. It's a cheap old level. Bought it down here at the Dollar General. I guess it just wasn't a good level. It's actually wrong. Let's turn it around. We'll say the same thing. That's a dumb level. Anybody can see that thing's going uphill or going downhill or, we're going up. John 1:11 says this, he came unto his own and his own received him not. He was the light and they didn't want to recognize the light. Those that are willing to accept light as light receive light, hang on, which is life. Those that are willing to accept light as light receive light, which is life. I know it's confusing. Hang tight with me. Come back next week. We'll get some more of this. Number six. Hang on. In order to get to the life with an F, one must accept the light. In him was life. That's who he is. Life. Jehovah, the self-existing one. And the life was the light, the truth, the revelation of all that God is. That life being revealed. Do you realize that's one reason, besides all the warm and fuzzies that are out of place in abortion? Because every baby born is a miracle of God. And we say that every baby is a miracle. Every baby is a miracle of God. God has created a brand new soul. God has placed life into a new little pile of dirt. That little pile of dirt knows how to get more dirt, make it bigger dirt. But it's the life that he's placed in it that can do that. Now, if you refuse what God reveals to us, the light, then what you're doing, you're also refusing the life. If you refuse the light, you walk in darkness. Void. You refuse the light, you walk in darkness. If you never get to the life, what do you have left? Separation from light and life. You follow me here? All right. Too late in the day to come in all this stuff. Now, so in order to get to the life, we must accept the light. Without the light, we abide in darkness. So, and in God is no darkness at all. You know that verse? So one cannot abide in darkness and in God at the same time. Well, I want to live like this. Yeah, you can do so, but you're going to do so without having God in that part of your life. Those that believe in Jesus in the heart come to the light. But when you come to the light, it reveals life. Number 7. When one refuses the light, he is by default refusing life. You see what I'm saying here? When one refuses the light, don't tell me the truth. Don't confuse me with the facts. I want to live right here in my little ignorance is bliss. That's fine, but you're living in darkness and you're not comprehending the light. You're not taking a hold of the light. But if you don't take a hold of the light, you're not going to get to the life. We remain dead in our sins and trespasses. So when one refuses the light, he is by default refusing life. Letter A, light reveals the truth. The truth is, we're all sinners, and thus we're separated from God. Letter B, life is in God. Now, if we want life, we must come to the giver of life. To come to the giver of life, we must accept what the light reveals and admit our sin and allow the giver of life to give us life. But I don't like what the light shining on me is telling me. If you refuse the light, you're not going to get to the life. John 3:16. You know this, but listen to this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, the light, might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And watch. And this is the condemnation. Watch. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So in other words, he says, God has provided it. It's yours to take. But when he turns on the light, you've got to accept the light he gives you, what the light is showing you, because if you don't, you're refusing not only the light, but the life that it comes from. Letter eight, number eight. Claiming to receive the light is different than truly living in the light. Claiming to receive the light is different than truly living in the light. Now, hang on here. I've got some verses. I know we're getting out of the gospel here a little bit, but or at least from this passage. John 8, 12 says this. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He says, "What? The light says this is the way we go. So I walk in the light that he gives me. When I walk in the light, I'm walking also in life. He's not going to take me to death. You stay with him, you're going to stay alive. You're going to stay where you're supposed to be. He's going to lead you to life, not death. 1 John 1, 1 says this. It's interesting. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life, who's that? Jesus Christ. Watch. For the life, that life, that essence of what life is of God was manifested and we have seen it. And he says, for the life was made light to be revealed. That word manifested it's come from the same root word as light. The manifestation, the light, the revealing of who he is. And so, for the life was manifested, made light to be revealed, and we have seen. In other words, that word means we're now able to discern it because of the light that exposed it. For the light was manifested, we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. You don't have it there, do you? It's all first chapter of John. He says in verse 4, he says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, watch, that God is light. It's that energy. It's the revelation of truth. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth from all sin. So in other words, but if we walk in the light, that means if we move in the revelation of God's truth that has been revealed, we're walking in light. We're walking with him. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. Okay, here's a summary. We're all done. The word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made, it was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Letter A, the word brings light. The word. We right now, okay, let me say it this way. It alluded to us in that passage there in 1 John, but in Hebrews it says this. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, that's the word of God, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, that's the word of God, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness, the lightness of his glory. That's the manifestation, the shining of the light to expose who God is. That's what Jesus was here to do. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand of the majesty on high. Now he's our mediator and our advocate. Now, so letter A, and under summary, the word brings light. Letter B, light shows the truth. So we got the word, and it brings light, reveals truth. So the word is light. The light shows the truth. Letter C. Acceptance of what the light has revealed gives us life. Our sins have separated us from our God. He said, the day you eat thereof, and it wasn't the fruit, it was the sin behind the action, you shall surely... You know what that means? The life leaves. You left God, so when you left God, you left life. So how do you regain the life? Except that you need God to give it to you. And set God back. We confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the word brings light. Light shows the truth. Acceptance of what the light has revealed gives us life. And letter D, this is not really this, but if you read the rest of John, 1 John, we talked about light and life and all this stuff right there. Life is manifested by the love of God living through us. He that loveth is born of God. That means the life has come back and knoweth God. Is letting the life through the light be lived out through him. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So in 1 John was talked about, we've got to have the light. You don't get rid of the light, because the light shows us what truth is. You accept the light, you get the life. If you've got the life, we'll know what spirit we are, because it will bring forth what God is in us. Then we can let our light so shine before men that others may see our good works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven. Where'd that light come from? Came from where the life comes from. The light comes where there's life. The life is the energy. The light is the expression of that energy. And so you, by that, I'm using the word energy. I'm not sure what other word to use. But when God is in you, the Holy Spirit's in you, there's a brand new energy. There's a brand new entity inside of you that will live out through you if you allow it to. That life comes out. When the life of God comes out, it shows itself in love. Did I fry your circuit tonight? You know, just kind of sleep on a little bit. So don't, watch, every time God shines a light, and we refuse the light, we're losing part of our Christian life, if you will. Why you feel dead? You've refused the light. Without the light, you don't get the life. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Thank you for the light and the life we have in you. Thank you, these dear folks. And Lord, I pray that you can take these things with us and kind of let them coagulate and let them kind of settle in so we can become more like you. Thank you so much for what we do. In Christ's name, amen.